How effective is the boycott against Target because of their policy on open bathrooms? We're going to talk about that right now during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Walker Wildman, who's involved with the American Family Association, and he is going to tell us how effective this whole boycott has been. Walker, welcome back to the program. So good to have you on again. Thank you.
Jerry, thank you for having me on the program.
Sure. And the American Family Association is based in Tupelo, Mississippi. Your grandfather, Don Wildman, founded it. Your father, Tim Wildman, runs it. And you have a lot of exciting things there, including blogging and so forth. What else do you do at the AFA?
Yeah, well, my title is assistant to the president, so I do a little bit of everything here. I mainly am my dad's personal assistant, so I help him handle all the day-to-day functions here at the American Family Association. And as you mentioned, I do occasional blogging, and I guest host a radio program every day.
Super.
So try to stay busy here.
All right, here's the boycott Target pledge. It's very simple, one sentence. Until Target makes the safety of women and children a priority, I will shop elsewhere. And the tagline on the boycott Target, hashtag boycott Target, says, men don't belong in women's restrooms and changing areas. So what is the controversy all about? Let's start with why the boycott, which began about a year ago in the spring of 2016.
Yeah, what happened is in April of 2016, following the North Carolina, what people call as the bathroom bill, that was a big controversy, you know, soon after that, Target announced that they would be allowing men access to women's changing areas and restroom facilities. And we...
Can I just stop you? But these would be men who identified as women or transgenders.
No.
Oh.
The Target's policy is not specific as to, you know, who can and can't enter their restrooms.
You mean men in general?
Well, it says, their policy reads that those who identify as the opposite sex can enter the restroom of the opposite sex, but that can be anyone on any given day. So there's not, you don't have to be dressed like a woman or act like a woman to enter the woman's restroom.
Wow.
You just have to simply say one day, I feel like the opposite sex, thus I can be in their restroom and changing facility.
Yeah.
So we boiled that down to a bathroom changing room free-for-all. Men can access women's changing areas and restrooms on any given day.
And so how effective has the boycott been?
Well, we've seen Target stock over the last 12 months has dropped 35% compared to your other major retailers like Walmart, Costco, and stores like that who have either kept a status quo stock or their stock's actually risen over the past 12 months. And so it's not as if the market is down. The market is actually up, and Target is down.
Hmm.
So and Target, in their own self-reporting, have admitted that their foot traffic is down over the last 12 months. So it's been clear, it's almost indisputable that the boycott has had a direct financial impact on Target.
Okay, but now, according to even just some of your own materials, I was reading that Snopes.com likes to claim that no, there's been no change for Target, or that the boycott is making no impact at all.
Yeah. Well, Snopes has often been wrong, and at times they've been right, but on this one they're terribly wrong, because here's what Snopes failed to cite. The Target's stock was at 84 points 12 months ago before the boycott began. The day after, Target stock began steeply declining, and over the past 12 months they've lost 35%. They're down to the lowest stock in the last 6 years. And the only thing that changed with Target is their restroom policy. Their business practices haven't changed. Their management hasn't changed. Nothing's changed except for their restroom policy that they announced. And I think it's oddly coincidental that the day after they announced their restroom policy, we announced our boycott, and their stock plunges 35% over 12 months. So Snopes had got it wrong on that one, I'll say that.
Hmm. Okay. How many people have signed the pledge? And tell us about your dad's plan to go to Target to their headquarters in Minneapolis soon.
Yeah, we've had over 1.5 million individuals, that's individuals, sign the Boycott Target Pledge, which represents 1.5 million families, which there's no telling when you multiply that, and let's just say people have 2 to 3 people in their family. That's millions of people, of shoppers, who are not shopping at Target. And then to add on what you asked, my dad and I both will be delivering the Target petitions, the additional 500,000 signatures to Target later this month. And last May, just a month, actually 3 weeks after the boycott was initiated, we delivered the first 1 million signatures. So we'll deliver the additional 500,000 later this month.
You know, it's interesting too, Walker, as I think about this, I apologize, but I've never signed a petition, but in my heart, I've chosen not to go to Target in the last year, and it's like, you know, hey, why shop there if I can shop elsewhere and not, you know, continue to contribute to the wrong side in this cultural war conflict? And I wonder, maybe there's other people like me where, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, participate at Target, but it doesn't mean I'm officially a part of any kind of boycott. But, you know, until they change this policy, I ain't going there.
Yeah, well, I think that's the case. I think you're right. I think that's the case with a lot of people, actually. I mean, I think Congress, for every phone call or email your congressman gets, I think it counts for like 10 voters. So you could, because not everyone shares their feelings and calls and shares their concerns.
Yeah.
And I think you can apply a similar standard to petitions or boycotts. You know, maybe people don't have the time or they just don't like entering their information on the Internet, and that's fine. But they may feel the same way you do and just not shop there.
Sure. Now, I understand that your organization, the American Family Association, has outlined 10 examples that show why this policy of Target is dangerous and should be rescinded.
Yeah, that's right. On our website, afa.net, you can go there and read. We have 10 examples, and there's many more of these. That we just listed 10 of men in Targets, not men in restrooms in general, men that are in Target changing areas and restrooms who have either been arrested or accused of voyeurism are being a sexual predator. So, and the thing about this is that Target's policy, according to Target's policy, these men can be in women's restrooms and changing areas. And that's our main concern.
That is amazing. Now, I understand that the CEO of Target, Brian Cornell, he's sticking with the policy of the bathrooms, the open bathroom policy, if you will. His salary has been slashed by 1/3. Presumably, that's because of the boycott, or at least the boycott's got to be part of it. And yet, despite all that, hey, no change with Target's policy on the bathrooms.
Yeah, what you've seen over the past 6 or 8 months is Target slashed they had an expansion project planned before the boycott. Well, they slashed it. You've seen 5 top executives. These aren't secretaries or assistants. These are top executives in Target Corporation fired. And then you see the remaining 2 executives that were there during the boycott or during the restroom policy announcement. They've got their pay slashed also. So they've done everything but reverse their policy, and I think they're missing all the wrong indicators because they could have avoided all of this if they would have just simply rescinded their policy from the get-go.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I heard a commentary from somebody on the radio where he was making the point that some of the families who, you know, are employees at Target, they were like, hey, you know, I wish the AFA would take our families into consideration. But the commentator on the radio made the point, well, look, why don't you change the stupid policy and then, you know, there'd be no boycott. Hello?
Yeah, well, folks tried to raise that argument from the get-go, claiming that we are hurting families, hurting Target employees. Well, the reality is this is a self-inflicted wound by Target. Their CEOs, their executives made this decision without thinking about it. We responded with a boycott, and so this is all in their court, And as I mentioned to other people, the way this game plays out is up to them. We're just here standing firm on what we believe in.
You know, I remember talking once with the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, because he and I collaborated on some books together. And in one of them, we were discussing the issue of how do we deal with some of the Christian bashing, and we got onto the subject of boycotts. And he made the point, and I think it was a really good one, that when you choose a boycott, you know, choose one target and stick with it until you're finished, no pun intended, and, you know, and just see it through, but don't scatter your shots so you're boycotting this and you're boycotting that, and before you know it, there's no place left to shop. So I think what you all are doing here is extremely targeted, you know, not to use any pun again.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, and that's a good point by Mr. Kennedy. Because here's the thing, there are a lot of things that happen in the world, a lot of things that happen in this country, that Christians may disagree with, and that can be expected. But if you're going to have an impact, you have to keep your sights focused on one target, on one subject, and this is really the most prevalent and dangerous subject, is men, sexual predators and voyeurs, being in the same changing room or bathroom as our daughters. This goes beyond same-sex marriage. This goes beyond any other cultural issue. This affects children. So it's important to keep our eyes focused on what's going on here. And as you mentioned, we're focused on target, and we're gonna keep this boycott going until they change their policy.
Another thing the other side might say is, where's the empathy? You know, what about those transgender people who are struggling with this, you know, this issue, and here you are heartlessly, you know, having this boycott? Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, actually, statistics show that embracing people who struggle with gender dysphoria does not at all reduce their suicide rates. The rate of suicide for those who are transgender or struggle with gender dysphoria does not go down just because you simply pat them on the back and tell them that their behavior is acceptable. So Target, this was unnecessary. Target did not have to announce this policy. They could have simply said, look, if you identify as transgender, or if you just want to go to the restroom by yourself, we have single occupancy restrooms, family restrooms, where you can go in there by yourself. Or if you're a mom who has a son or a mom with a daughter, you can go in the family restroom by yourself and lock the door. So that was a simple solution for Target to do.
Yeah.
If transgender individuals are uncomfortable in the public restrooms. So, and you gotta remember this, that there are girls, little girls and women, who have been molested, voyeured, and preyed upon by men because of Target's policy. So there are more victims than just one in this situation.
Yeah. And this whole area of gender confusion, I mean, biologically we are either male or female. That's the way the Creator made us. And frankly, science is on our side, although unfortunately you wouldn't know that from the culture at large.
Yeah, that's right. You look at Bruce Jenner, who self-identifies as a female. The guy is a male up and down, through and through. His biology is full male, 100%. And so we, as Christians, we cannot even give in to the fact that folks can somehow change or self-identify as that of which they're not. And so if we can establish that fact, that God created us male and female, and that's how we are, period, we cannot change that. We are not our own creators. Then we can begin the discussion, you know, about gender dysphoria and transgenderism. And we can really get to the core issue, which is, you know, some folks maybe just need help. You know, some people do have legitimate struggles about who they are, you know, and who they want to be. And those things can be worked through. There's a lot of good counselors, a lot of good Christian faith-based counselors out there who can walk people through these situations. But the last thing we need is major corporations weighing into the culture war, which should be left up to churches.
Amen. All right. Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. Again, the website is afa.net. All the best to you, and thank you so much. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.